Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to see you tonight. We're going to the book of Jeremiah again. This is part two. We studied this morning from Jeremiah, as we've been reading from the book now for some time. And as we mentioned this morning, as we studied, a character study on the prophet Jeremiah. We started like this, saying, has there ever been someone that you've really looked up to? Someone that you wanted to be like? And you wanted to act like them, and you wanted to talk like them, you wanted to be known for some of the same character traits as them? Well, as we look at Jeremiah, I think we can see some character traits that would be qualities that are good qualities to have. I'm not saying that we would want to endure all of the circumstances that Jeremiah had to deal with, but his character is outstanding. A life that was so truly focused on God. We talked about how it's just hard to imagine being in Jeremiah's place. It was not a comfortable place to be. For over 50 years, he was a prophet of God in an incredibly difficult time, and yet his faith endured, and who knows, maybe even increased as time went on. And his character was outstanding, and it stood out through all of those years of turmoil, the turmoil of Judah's impending captivity. But it's the poor reception of the people is something else that just stands out to me. And how Jeremiah faced that, and how he had to deal with all that was against him in that way. And yet we saw this morning that his emotions and his heart was clearly seen. His sensitivity, if you will, and his sympathy for those who were missing a relationship with God. He was praying that they would come to know and understand Jehovah God. And his courage and confidence in the Lord is something that is inspiring. And in these ways, we need to be like him. There's a couple of other points that I thought we would consider tonight. How Jeremiah had overwhelming and unshakable faith and conviction in God. The message that God called on Jeremiah to deliver was not a pleasant one. It was a message Judah was starting to see and understand that the captivity was to be inevitable. The destruction of Jerusalem was going to come. But it was not the only message that Jeremiah delivered. And as you're reading through the book, I would encourage us, challenge us to see some of the positive things that Jeremiah was delivering. Such things as he was talking about as a prophet of God, that a remnant was going to return to the land. It seems like most were just not hearing that. I don't know if they just didn't want to hear. They were so consumed with the disaster that was upon them that they just stopped their ears, that they just weren't listening to Jeremiah, that I can't really answer. But in the midst of all the turmoil, Jeremiah clearly heard all of the words of the Lord, and he held on to the hope that Jehovah God was offering. And it seems that regardless of all the preaching of Jeremiah, the faith of many could not be revived. You know, but Jeremiah's unshakable faith not only endured, but it strengthened. And we're still talking about his faith now as he went through this incredible time. His conviction in God was not going to be moved. There was no one that could change him in that regard. No one could change his conviction in God. There was plenty of opportunity. If there was a time where Jeremiah was just going to lay down and just give up his faith, he could have done that time and again. But his conviction never changed. We talked this morning, were there times that were difficult? Were there times that he got low? Yes, there were. We can understand that. But his faith never went away. His conviction never changed. Jeremiah believed in God. And he listened to what God had to say. And he accepted the words of God as truth, and he lived his life according to that. There's some important points right there. Some things that we should think about as we look at the life of Jeremiah, how he accepted truth and he lived his life according to that. And because of this, he could see beyond the immediate hardships of Judah. He could see and understand the ultimate return and the restoration of Israel. Let's look at a couple of passages. Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah chapter 16, we begin at verse 14. However, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when men will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt, but they will say, as surely as the Lord lives who brought the Israelites up out of the land of the north and out of the countries where he had banished them, for I will restore them to the land I gave to their forefathers. The message of Jeremiah to Judah was very clear about what was to come, the return to the land. Again, I'm not sure how many heard it. They were so distraught because of the events taking place, and perhaps to a great degree they had so much turned off anything that Jeremiah had to say. I don't know how many really heard what he was saying. Chapter 32. Chapter 32, beginning at verse 37. I will surely gather them from all the lands where I banished them in my furious anger and great wrath. I will bring them back to this place and let them live in safety. They will be my people, and I will be their God. Jerusalem was being besieged. When Jerusalem was being besieged, Jeremiah bought a field. Chapter 32, we read that list this last week. Seems like a very peculiar time to be buying a field. I mean, Jerusalem was about to be destroyed. Many have already been taken into captivity. Jeremiah is in prison, so to speak. He's been held captive by Zedekiah the king. And yet God speaks to him and tells him that someone's going to come to him to sell him a piece of property and that he's to buy it. Doesn't that seem somewhat absurd? But that has something to do with the prophecy that Jeremiah has been delivering, the words of God that there's going to be a return to that land. There's a reason for him to buy that land. And he did as God told him to do. Just as he has spoke, as God has told him to speak. He was the messenger. He continued to be that messenger of God. But the very idea that Jeremiah would buy a piece of property in the land that the enemy is about to take possession of says something again about his faith, his conviction in God, his willingness to listen and to obey all that God says. And it's a sign and it's a signal to Judah that we're coming back here. That's why he was to buy that land. Jeremiah embraced God's words of hope. He listened to what God said when most would not. Well, you know, there was another who delivered the message of God in a later time. And most refused to hear him as well. In fact, as with Jeremiah, when they didn't like what he's saying, they wanted to kill him. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 37. It was Jesus speaking when he said, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Can we see some similarity, some connection? Even with what Jeremiah was facing and dealing with. They tried to kill Jeremiah too. Because they didn't want to hear what he had to say. And hundreds of years later, the same thing was happening with Christ. There were those who did not want to hear what he had to say. But he was speaking the will and the words of God. The preaching of Jesus was rejected much like Jeremiah. And yet Jesus didn't change his teaching, his preaching in any way. Some of his disciples got it. There were many along the way that turned and walked away. John chapter 6 certainly records that to us. Jesus said to his disciples, the apostles, do you want to go away too? Peter wisely said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So, though rejected, the faith and the confidence of Jesus never wavered. He never backed up. He never questioned God. He always delivered the message that He was sent to tell. Just like Jeremiah did. Today, everything is different. And yet, everything's the same. Have you noticed? There are some things that just never change. People still refuse to listen to God. People still refuse to listen to preaching as a delivering of the message of God. And people refuse to obey. Most of us here tonight would call ourselves Christians, the people of God. In time past, it was the children of Israel who were the people of God, but they rejected the prophets. They rejected what God said. In the first century, people rejected Christ, who was sent by God. And when we look at the time in which we live, fundamentally the same thing is happening. The message of God is still being delivered, and it's still being rejected by most. But we'll have to choose for ourselves. We can choose to listen and obey God, and that will require an overwhelming and an unshakable faith and conviction in God. How are we doing with that? Are we like Jeremiah? Are we willing to stand when there are those who are rejecting God and those who are ridiculing us because of faith? Those who would even want to kill us because of the message of God? If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. That's what Jesus said. And just like Jeremiah continued in the will and the word of Jehovah God, we continue in the word of God ourselves. One other thing. Jeremiah was a man of prayer. The prayers of Jeremiah don't necessarily always stand out as prayers, but documented often in the life of Jeremiah is his propensity to pray. At least 14 times in the text, we're told that Jeremiah talked with God. Sometimes it's easy to identify it as a prayer. Other times it is just more of his conversation with God, or in other words, he prayed. And there was plenty of reason for him to call on God in prayer. Jeremiah obviously knew that doom and destruction was coming. And in many ways, I think he felt totally helpless. He wasn't going to change it. He tried at times to petition God, but no, it was not going to change. There were consequences that were going to come about because of the will of Judah, because of their actions. And as the text would tell us, there was an army from the north that was coming, chapter 6 would tell us, a great nation that was stirred up, armed with bow and spear. It's foretelling that coming of Babylon. And Jeremiah said in chapter 6, verse 24, he said, "We have heard reports about them, and our hands hang limp. Anguish has gripped us, pain like that of a woman in labor." Were they concerned about what they could see over the walls of Jerusalem? Oh, yeah. I mean, they knew of the power of Babylon. It was well understood what has happened already and what would happen. And so Jeremiah again called on the people to repent, but to no avail. And even though he could not convince them to repent, there was one thing he could do. He could pray. Prayer was a vital part of Jeremiah's defense mechanism. What I mean by that is it seems that some of the times when Jeremiah spoke to God were the times that he was at his lowest. It's when things looked the bleakest. It was when Jeremiah needed strength and encouragement the most that he would cry out to God. Prayer was something that he did frequently. But what is peculiar to me was that there was a point in time when God admonished him to stop praying. I mean, just the thought of that just seems odd to me. God discouraging someone from praying? But there's a reason with this. Look with me at chapter 7. In Jeremiah chapter 7. In verse 16, it says, the Lord says, "So do not pray for this people, nor offer any plea or petition for them. Do not plead with me, for I will not listen. Do you not see what they are doing in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers light the fire, and the women knead the dough and make the cakes of bread for the Queen of Heaven. They pour out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger. But I am the one they are. Am I the one they are provoking? Declares the Lord. Are they not rather harming themselves to their own shame? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: My anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, on man and beast, on the trees of the field, on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched." So yes, God said, "Don't pray to me about these people." Because they had no interest in Jehovah God. They had totally rejected Him. They were serving and worshiping other gods, idols. God says, "Don't pray to me about them when they have no regard for me at all. You might as well stop praying to me for them," He said, "because I will not save them when they continue to ignore me." Well, God warned Jeremiah again in chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 14, "Do not pray for this people, nor offer any plea or petition for them, because I will not listen when they call on me in the time of their distress." We hear some frustration in the voice of God? Well, indeed. Certainly we do. But Jeremiah continues to pray. In each case, Jeremiah continues to pray. There's a third time that God warned him to stop praying. Chapter 14, verse 11. "Then the Lord said to me, 'Do not pray for the well-being of this people. Although they fast, I will not listen to their cry. Though they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Instead, I will destroy them with the sword and famine and plague.'" Well, they hadn't changed their ways. What God said about them before has not changed because they have not changed. And as we said, at least 14 times there, we are told that Jeremiah talked with God or prayed to Him. Not all of these prayers are classic prayers as we think of prayers sometimes. But it's just more of Jeremiah speaking out to God and pleading with Him. You know, it's Jeremiah speaking his concerns and his thoughts to the Lord. But the prayers that we have recorded in the book very often reflect Jeremiah's own frustration and discouragement. Interesting point. Now, when Jeremiah was facing some of his most difficult times is when he poured out his frustration and his anger and sometimes even his bitterness in the words that he offered to God in prayer. This was his release. This is where he would in turn find comfort when God spoke to him. And there must have been times that Jeremiah was so fully overloaded with responsibility of delivering God's message that it must have almost seemed like it was more than he could take over 50 years. Preaching to a people who were obstinate. Preaching to a people who had disregard for God. And who were showing no signs of any change. And yet we find today some powerful examples for us in Jeremiah's prayer. The importance of frequency, that he continued to pray. The intensity of his prayers, the repeated nature of his prayers. He was often praying and speaking about the same. His concerns were so often the same. He was still praying for a people that had no regard for God. He was praying about that the same things over and over and over. As he prayed, there was despair, there was perplexity. Sometimes I think even vengeance and vindication. In his prayers, you can feel his pain and his anxiety, his anger. And he poured out his heart to God in prayer. Someone came along later who prayed often. And he did so frequently. And he did so alone. He prayed with his disciples. He prayed for them. And he prayed for you and me. There were prayers that were short prayers. There were prayers that took all night. There were prayers that were incredibly intense before his betrayal. Jesus prayed often. And no matter how difficult the situation was, Jesus still remembered to pray. In fact, again, we see that was when his most intense prayers came about. Some lessons learned for us. Men of God have always talked with God in prayer. Always. From the earliest of recorded time, the men of God turned to Him in prayer. How are we doing with that? I mean, the words of Jeremiah are important for us today. Examples that are set, patterns that are set, for us to see, for us to hear, to listen to. Like the other aspects of his character we talked about earlier today, we think about Jeremiah as a man of great emotion, of sensitivity. We saw that he was a man of sympathy. He was a man of courage. A man of faith and conviction, and a man of prayer. May God help us to develop these qualities in our lives. Just some things for us to think about, some things for us to ponder as we begin once again a new week. Thank you so much for listening tonight. If there are any who would need to respond to the gospel, an opportunity is being given at this time. Would you come? Would you respond?